Your next speaker is Eddie Parrish.
What a beautiful song. Heaven will surely be worth it all. Singing that song brings to mind the many sacrifices that Christians are often called upon to make, and the glories that await us in heaven if we are faithful. The message of the song is thoroughly biblical. Paul said in Romans 8, verse 18, I consider that the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17, the passage read just a moment ago, Paul said that our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more and exceeding eternal weight of glory. In other words, those two passages tell us heaven will surely be worth it all. And it never hurts to remind ourselves of the cost and the rewards of being a Christian. And with that in mind, let's consider those points this morning. First of all, let's note the cost of being a Christian. The cost of being a Christian. There is a cost involved, make no mistake about it. Jesus once told a parable about that. When some were contemplating following Him and giving their lives to Him, and He told a parable about the importance of making sure that we understand what's involved in being one of His children. And what's involved as far as what it will cost us. He told the parable about one who begins to build a tower and doesn't at the first count and figure out how much it's going to cost to do it. And then if he gets halfway through building the tower and is unable to finish because he didn't plan ahead and he didn't count the cost, and he becomes the laughing stock of the community. And he spoke of a world leader who, before taking his troops into war, will always count the cost to make sure that he's able to accomplish his objectives. And if all of that's true with regard to building towers and going to war, how much more should it be true for the person who is making the decision of whether or not to give his life to Jesus Christ? We do people today no favors when we teach them the gospel and don't, in the process, help them to count the cost. Jesus encountered a young man who wanted to know what he needed to do to be pleasing to God. Mark chapter 10, Jesus told him, you know the commandments, keep them. The young man said to Jesus, I have kept all of these commandments from my youth up, since I was a boy. Then Jesus forced him to count the cost. When he said, one thing you lack, go and sell all you have and give it to the poor and come follow me. The Bible says this young man went away in much grief because he had many possessions. Following Jesus costs something. Yes, salvation is a free gift, Romans 6:23, but it's not cheap. Salvation cost God His Son. Should we not expect that that life would cost us something? It will cost us ourselves. If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Luke 9:23. Following the Lord might cost us more than just ourselves. It might cost us close relationships with family or friends. Jesus once said in Matthew 10, verse 34, I came not to bring peace, but a sword. And he spoke about how following him might sometimes cause close human relationships to be severed. And as much as that hurts, and as much as no one would enjoy that kind of cost, sometimes it's a price that must be paid. And accompanying this price at times is harassment, persecution, which is a cross that sometimes we must bear. Jesus said, "Whoever does not bear his cross cannot be my disciple." Luke 14, verse 27. Living in an ungodly world will sometimes bring into our lives some kind of ill treatment. All those who live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Paul's promise to Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. Sometimes that persecution may be physical. Someone may actually harm you physically. It doesn't happen often, thankfully. At least not in our culture. But it still does on occasion and may in the future be more frequent than it is now. Sometimes the persecution we face is more verbal, and that tends to be more the case in our day, in our society. But it hurts nonetheless. But Peter said, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14, if you are insulted for the name of Christ, happy are you. Blessed are you. There are other things that we sometimes have to suffer as a cost of being a Christian. We suffer sometimes the personal weaknesses that each of us face individually as a result of our fight against sin. Paul talked about having to buffet his body, 1 Corinthians 9:27, to bring it into subjection, to make his own body his own slave. He said, I have to do that lest after I have preached to others, I myself might become disqualified or a castaway. There was the constant danger in the life of the Apostle Paul that even though he was focusing much of his energy on teaching others the gospel and trying to lead others to Christ, that it would still be possible for him to be lost in the process. Because he had weaknesses. He wasn't perfect. And certainly each of us faces the same type of battle. All of us have our weaknesses. There is some area or some areas in each of our lives individually where Satan knows that he's got a good chance. And as we fight those weaknesses and we fight those sins and fight the temptations, it's a struggle. It's hard. And it can bring us down. That's part of the cost. Part of the price that has to be paid if we would be the disciple of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we face disappointments that are brought into our lives by our own brothers and sisters in Christ who often fail us. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 29, who is weak and I am not? I believe the point Paul is making there is when brethren, and that's right on the heels of his statement about what presses upon him daily, care, anxiety for all the churches. And he said, who's weak and yet I'm not? In other words, when brethren are weak, Paul says, that affects me too. When brethren are weak and the care and concern for the churches is laid upon me, I'm also weakened in the process. Sometimes, whether it's apathy, neglect, be it expressions of weak faith that come in the form of poor attendance or constant murmuring and complaining or compromise, sometimes the lives of our brethren can cause us distress. All of that's a part of the price. It's all a part of the cost of being a child of God. The song that serves as the title for our lesson today suggests that we are often hindered and burdened so heavy. Those burdens consisting of trials, toils, and tears, and many a heartache. Indeed, being a disciple of Jesus can be very costly. But now think about the rewards. Yes, there's a cost of being a Christian, but there are rewards as well. Paul's assessment of those rewards is certainly worth our time to consider. Paul endured a lot himself. He listed a lot of those things that he had faced when he wrote the book of 2 Corinthians. Very quickly, if you'll notice, beginning in verse 23, he talks about some of the things that he faced as part of paying the price of being faithful to God. Are they servants of Christ? I'm a better one, he says in figurative sense to accommodate them. Beginning in verse 24, five times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from my own people, dangers from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, and toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from all other things, there is the daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. Paul endured a lot. And yet, even in the face of all of the cost that was in front of him every day, he could still say that he looked forward to a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. 2 Corinthians 5:1. Paul could still look forward to a glorious transformation of this earthly frail body into a glorious heavenly body. Philippians 3:20 and 21. He could still look forward to that crown of righteousness which he knew the Lord would place upon his head. 2 Timothy 4:8. And he could speak of that happy reunion with Jesus. So shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 17. That's Paul's assessment of the rewards, even in the face of the cost. Peter also suffered much. In 1 Corinthians 4, verses 9 through 13, Paul writing there, he doesn't mention Peter specifically by name, but he mentions the apostles as a group and speaks of the things that they suffered, being counted as fools, and the offscouring of society, basically scum. Some translations even have that. He said, that's what we apostles have faced. Peter was one of them, but yet Peter would talk about the rewards and speak of looking forward to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. 1 Peter 1, verse 4. He looked forward to that new heavens and new earth, that new dwelling place in the eternal realm. 2 Peter 3, verses 13 and 14. John the Apostle suffered too. Suffering tribulation and exile, Revelation 1, verse 9. For the kingdom's sake, yet he would be shown in that heavenly vision that victory belongs to the faithful. Read Revelation chapters 7 and 8. Is there really a comparison? Really, is there a comparison between the few years of service with its hardships that we have here and eternity and the delight that we'll experience in the presence of God? Paul said there's no comparison. Which isn't to minimize the distresses that we face in this life. I've spoken with brethren who have suffered much at the hands of those who oppose God and who oppose all things holy. And we can read about the things in Scripture like we looked at from Paul's life, and it causes our minds to boggle at the kinds of things that those men endured. But Paul still says, can't compare the two. You just can't. The sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. What if Peter and John and Paul could speak to us today? We know they can't. What if they could? Let your mind dwell on that for just a moment. If they could give us a message today, what do you think it would be? What about loved ones who died in Christ that we're personally familiar with? The list would be long and distinguished. If we began to list all of those who have a personal tie to this congregation, to families within this room today that we could list that were faithful soldiers of the cross, that lived and died in Christ, what if they could deliver a message today? Would they not say, along with Peter and John and Paul, heaven will surely be worth it all? In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 and 36, the writer encourages his readers with these words, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. We all have need of endurance. We all have need of perseverance, steadfastness. And the writer of Hebrews says, don't throw away your confidence, because heaven will surely be worth it all. Worth all the sorrows that here befall. After this life, with all its strife, heaven will surely be worth it all. Are you headed toward heaven? How thankful we ought to be that Jesus made it possible for each of us to be headed in that very direction. He tasted of death for every man, Hebrews 2:9. He wants you to believe in Him, to trust Him. John 8:24. He wants you to turn from your sins in repentance. Luke 13, verse 3. He wants you to be willing to confess your faith in Him. Matthew 10, 32. And He wants you to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. Mark 16, verse 16. If you have not done that, that's what you need to do first and foremost, so that the hope of heaven can become genuine and real in your life. Christian, what about you? Have you lost sight of what's truly important? Have you lost sight of heaven as your goal, and have become so affected by the cares and anxieties and the hindrances of this life that you've forgotten that whatever you face in this life, heaven will be worth it all? If you have forgotten that, then it's you He calls home today.